Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, 303. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. I got you for two more hours. Fliegelman's with us today. And we're taking your calls at 888-808-1019. I will get to the Mets, I promise you. We'll get to the Taylor play and whether or not that was a good send or a bad send home. Obviously, the Beatty error, which hurts them in the top of the 10th. And the Pete Alonso at bat, although he did have a good game, and they were gifted a three-run home run off of, what, a drop third strike Lindor gets on, and then Soto has a, what should have obviously been a double play, get past them, and then Pete comes through, and Pete had a great game, but had a chance to win the baseball game and was unable to come through with that at bat after, you know, Diaz with another, you know, impressive outing of, you know, getting into trouble and out of it somehow. And the Mets have a frustrating loss and have followed up a seven-game win streak with 6 out of 7 losses. So we'll get to the Mets, but a lot of calls up right now. I want to get to them. 888-808-1019. I won't leave you hanging at 304. That's my promise to you. You call in, I don't leave you hanging too long. Alex in Romania, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? Actually, yeah, in Bucharest, Romania.
Bucharest, Romania, what's going
on? Yes, last year we called you from Rome, so we're keeping up the tradition calling this year from Bucharest. Look at that. Anyhow, I want to get into a little bit of the Yankees bullpen situation.
Yeah.
With the recent struggles, I just want to know what you think, if the Yankees did enough at the deadline, if they end up making that wild card spot, if they can make a run, do they have enough in the bullpen? Do you think they have enough in the bullpen to make a run in the playoffs?
Yes, I do. And thank you for the call all the way from Bucharest. I appreciate it. Yes, I still think I would think they do. And listen, you got to remember, too, Leiter is coming back, and so is, hopefully, Cruz. And Cruz was having a great year. So I think that bullpen, as long as, you know, I mean, you're talking about Doval, you're talking about Bednar and Weaver. I think Williams, hopefully, will find his way in the, you know, back to pitching similarly to himself, as long as he's not the closer, right? We got to hope that maybe that was the Clay Holmes thing last year, right? They took him out of the closer's role, and then come playoff time, he found himself pitching in the sixth and seventh inning. Maybe that'll be the same for Devin Williams. Like, you can't give up on him. You can't be the closer anymore, plain and simple. So you've got Weaver, you've got Williams, you've got Duvall, you've got Bednar, you've got, I would think, Bird sticks around. A lot of people are mad at Bird. Look, he gave up the home run, no doubt. He did get two strikes, a single, a home run. What's the difference? You're going to lose the game. That's a tough spot for any pitcher to be in. He threw a fastball and he got beat. I thought he actually threw the ball fairly well. He just gave up the home run. He was just about to get out of it before giving up the home run. So, and then you've got Cruz and Leiter coming back. I think it's a fairly deep bullpen. They just got to be better. This is not the bullpen it was 2 weeks ago when all you had was Weaver and Williams. If they make it to the wild card, assuming everybody's healthy and comes back between now and then, I think you're talking about 6 or 7 arms you feel fairly good about. So, yeah, I think the bullpen should be good. Now, if you get into a 7-game series and every starting pitcher doesn't go deep, if you're in the bullpen in the 4th and 5th inning of every game, we've seen it time and time again, whether it's just ineffectiveness from overwork or the lineup getting used to seeing the same pitcher 3 games in a row, like that's always an issue. But yeah, I don't see why this, I would think this Yankee bullpen, yeah, absolutely, it's deep enough. It can't have Williams isn't the closer anymore. I trust Weaver. I'll trust Bednar and Doval right now over Williams. That's it. Williams is done as the closer. EJ in East Meadow. What's up, EJ?
Man, let's have a conversation. So, and let me at least get 2 sentences out before you talk over me. Look, at most callers, because you know you call us dopey and all that other stuff.
I called you dopey.
I listen to your show every day. Yeah. I listen to your show every day. You did. Okay.
I called you most dopey.
No, usually with me, you always tell me, oh, you know, you talk out of both sides of your mouth. So now you're talking out of both sides of your mouth now today. That's okay.
How am I doing that?
Okay, well, I haven't gotten to two sentences yet. Can I speak first?
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, you, if you're going to throw insults at me, I'm going to ask you why you feel that way.
You, I said you called me dopey. What are you talking about?
You're saying I'm yeah. That's what I'm asking you when I called you dopey.
No, I said you call us callers dopey.
No, I call generalization of some thought process dopey. Yes, sometimes.
All right. Okay. All right. So we got that out of the way.
Okay. Like if you think the Yankees should lose, I'll call you dopey.
I'm not a Yankee hater. Are you kidding me?
But I'm saying my point was I just said that. I literally just said if you think that the Yankees should lose, you're a dope. So yes, I'm trying to agree with you and find a middle ground. I don't think I call any one particular caller dopey. I call a thought process dopey.
Well, last night you went off on that guy. They called him an idiot. You were like, I'm about to lose it.
He said Steinbrenner
wouldn't. I'm not hating on you.
I know. I'm going through it with you. I'm not saying you are. I'm just going. You mentioned it, so I'm telling you. Yeah, the caller who told me that Jazz wouldn't be on the team if Steinbrenner. Yes, I lost it on that guy.
That was ridiculous. That was ridiculous.
Please.
And I get mad too. Anyway, all right. Most of us call with the same skepticism that you have. Like the skepticism that you are now at now, some of us have been there before.
I get
right?
it. Yep.
We just got there a little bit before that.
Mm-hmm.
The optimism, and look, whether you're a shill or you're a homer, I mean, who cares? Like we all do the same things, whether we're all the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But the optimism part is where we start talking out of both sides of one's mouth. Because you're saying on the same token, yeah, you know what? Like use Rodon, for instance, that you just said. Rodon can, I mean, we've seen him as a dominant pitcher. Do I trust him? No, I don't really trust him. But can he? Yes.
Yes.
But hold on. But can he? Yes, he can. Yes. All those other teams that you brought up in the past about the 96, 97, 2006, 2008, 2009, 2018, a lot of the teams can. I mean, Jim Abbott pitched a no-hitter, for goodness sake, with one arm.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, they can. The point is, the skepticism, when you have this, remember John Sterling before ALCS, Cleveland Guardians, said, they're running the bases like drunks.
Yeah.
Okay. All of this stuff is leading up to the fact that, hey, listen, it's not protocol. It's not Boone's fault that they don't know how to run around the bases. It's not Brian Cashman's fault that Judge got hurt and they have Judge and Stanton at the same point. But guess what? When you sit there and you say, hey, you know what? They're going to, they could win the World Series. How are they going to do that if Stanton's not playing? How are they going to do that if we only trust one person who right now, who trusts Fried right now and all the other people?
Well, I mean,
and so I'm sorry, I'm going to let you get back to your show, but really, one last thing. You got to, and forget about this whole, we got to the World Series last year. They fired Girardi. I'm not asking for Boone's job.
Well, they didn't fire Girardi.
Girardi did way more.
He won a championship. That's all he did. More. He didn't do anything more. He won a championship, which is way more. But
yeah,
and then he got to the ALCS.
And do you remember what he did with that team that won 85? With the 85 games, that roster was horrible.
Yeah, I think Aaron Boone won 82 games with a roster that was absolutely atrocious in 23.
That was worse than what's his name in the outfield? Oh my goodness,
yes.
Lyle Overbay.
Yes,
I mean Lyle Overbay.
Lyle Overbay's first baseman. Yes, Lyle Overbay. Yes. Worse than that.
Yeah.
Bowers.
Yeah,
Billy McKinney. Bowers. Willie Calhoun hitting cleanup. Franchi Cordero. Yes.
That was
Yes, I think
so
it was
you're
worse.
Saying that roster was, th- you're saying
I
that
think
roster
it was just
was,
as bad or worse, yes.
Yes, of course it was. And guess who won more games?
Like a couple. I understand that. Okay.
And
then in 2018, they won more games. In 2019, the season fell apart. Yes. And
guess who went to the ALCS two times, won the World Series, and did that too? It's not Boone's fault. I agree with you.
All right, well, what are you talking about?
Because you are the biggest excuse maker on WFAN.
I'm not making excuses for anything. They went to the World Series last year. When someone tells me the franchise is broken, oh my God, what a disaster, how hard it is to be a Yankee fan, it's the same crap every year. I was with my son celebrating the night they went to the World Series. You want to deem that meaningless? I don't. when I was jumping up and down, making a video and watching my son go crazy going to the World Series, I don't deem that as a failure. Even if they lost the World Series, they didn't get their ultimate goal. There's levels of failures. I'm not trying to say Aaron Boone's great. Keep him here for the next 35 years because they went to the World Series last year. I just said if they don't make the playoffs or they don't get out of the wild card, and I might even fire him beyond that if they don't win in the DS. But if they don't make the playoffs, fired. If they don't get out of the wild card, fired. I'm not saying that last year means he should be here forever. But when you take these extremes that, oh, this is, it's the same thing every year. They went to the World Series last year. Yes, I'll continue to say that. That's not excuse making. That's a fact. That's all. Like to say that everything is broken and everybody sucks and nothing ever goes right and it's the same crap year in and year out and there's nobody ever held accountable and there's this and that and it's just garbage and we've been watching garbage for the last 15 years because they haven't won a championship since 09 and they go, well, they were in the World Series last year. Oh, who cares? That was easy. The series against the Marlins is tough, but the ALCS is easy. I don't care who they were playing. I'm not making excuses. They went to the World Series last year. That's not an excuse. That's a fact, Jack. And in Aaron Boone's seven full seasons, I don't include 2000 and actually, this is his seventh. In the previous six full seasons, 2020 is tough to it's just tough to judge. It was a 60-game season. They did one of the more dumb things I've ever seen in a postseason series with the crap they pulled in game two and with Jay Happ. I agree, that was just ridiculously stupid. But it's tough to get a feel for that series season. In six full seasons, he's won the division half the time, and he's been to the ALCS half the time, and he won an American League pennant. If he doesn't make the playoffs this year, all of that gets him fired. That and a cup of coffee gets him fired. I don't care. Well, that and a dollar gets him a cup of coffee, I think is the phrase. Although, good luck finding a cup of coffee for a dollar anymore. But, like, I'm not saying that guarantees him jack, man. But we want to talk like it never happened. We want to look at last year as just another failure of this, you know, ongoing atrocities that we've had to experience as Yankee fans since 09. And I just disagree. I thought, as frustrating as the season was at times, they were playing in the World Series. You know, call me crazy. I was at a World Series game. Me and my son got to enjoy that. Like, again, how many other franchises have it? Mets fans used to hang their hat on the idea that they were in the World Series more recently than the Yankees. It's not nothing going to the World Series. That's all. That's all I've ever said about it. If Boone doesn't make the playoffs this year, I would fire him. I said they should fire him after 23. But, I mean, we treat that as excuse-making, saying they went to the World Series last year in defense of knocking the entire organization as a joke. That's an excuse. This July is far more important than going to the World Series last year, Chris. I mean, come on. Look at this July. How can you tell me that this isn't broken? Well, they went to the World Series last year. Easy. Anyone could have done that, Chris. Look at this July. This July, Chris. It outweighs going to the World Series, Chris. Anything else short of this July is the whole thing and it's everything that's ever been since 09, Chris. Is this July, if you don't see everything we've ever done since 09 is this July, then you're just making excuses, Chris. They want a pennant. John in Tampa. What's up, John?
Keeping normal hours, but I had to stay up because my head's going to explode.
Yes. As is mine. I just did that whole July thing. My head seeing stars. Go ahead.
I just want to break down the play, that the bunt play that Beatty threw the ball away.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Like I've told you a million times, I played college baseball. I was a utility guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, I did everything. And now, on that play, first mindset's got to be, we're just going to get one out, okay?
Okay.
That's the first you might, and then if everything goes smooth, the throw is a good feed, then you take a chance for the double play, or you do a bluff to first and you spin to third and maybe make a throw to third. Mm-hmm. Now, Beatty, there's a real nonchalantness that's going on in baseball. Okay, it's just the culture of what it is now. These guys are nonchalant. I'm not saying Beatty was. His mistake was he dropped down his throwing angle, okay, too much, and the ball ran on him into the runner.
But you're saying that he should have just been more deliberate, made sure he got the one out. He rushed it to try and in hopes of getting two. Is that your thought?
Okay, if you look at Lindor's feet, he's like straddling the base.
Yes.
Okay, now, listen, far be it from me to criticize.
I hear you, yeah. Listen, the throw's up the line where the runner is, so it's not as easy as what you're saying, but I don't disagree. The idea to play it a little bit more like a first baseman, make sure you get that out, as opposed to straddling the bag and looking like... It was almost like he wasn't sure the force was good enough, like he was looking for a tag.
Weird. Listen, I've seen him, he's brilliant, but I've seen him do silly things like that before. Okay. You have to be, you know, you got to get into that. I mean, yeah, you were, what high school did you go to? You were athlete of the year.
Okay?
You understand this. You understand these things. You have to be in an athletic position ready to be able to move to, in case there's a bad throw. You know, when I trained first baseman, I learned first base in the mid 80s, watching Hernandez and Mattingly, and I was obsessed with it. All right. I teach my first baseman. You anticipate every throw you think is going to be in the dirt. Okay. Every throw. And if it's not, it's easy to catch. Right. Makes sense. Same thing when I teach catchers.
Right. Right. Okay. But
blocking.
All right, but I appreciate that. But let's try and move the conversation. So, what's your overall point, though? Like, what that the nonchalant of baseball led to that mistake, or like what should have happened in that play that you have a problem with?
In the front of the base, making the throw, okay. And Beatty, like you said, should have been more deliberate with his throw. He should have went a little bit more over the top, with a little more of a force, forcing the grip over the top, so the ball goes straight. Okay.
Yeah, I get you. Look, overall, I had no problem with going to second base. Beatty's explanation did make sense. The ball was up in the air. You're figuring that Ramirez is not going to get a great jump. You want to throw it to second base. I do think that, you know, the throw obviously up the line. I don't know if he rushed it or whatever. And I do think that, you know, Lindor could have tried to make a little bit of make sure he caught it and tried to stay on the bag. But, yeah. In that spot, you're not looking to turn a double play necessarily. You want to make sure if you're going to go to second or whatever base you're going to go to, you get the force. So now, I don't know if Lindor was caught off guard that he was going to second base. Straddling the bag doesn't make any sense. You're right. He should have been out in front of the bag and kind of playing it almost like a first baseman. I don't disagree. But Beatty's got to make a better throw. Lindor could have helped him out. That was a mistake. Obviously, the other major issue in the game is the third base coach's decision not to send Taylor. We'll get to that as well. I have no problem being cautious there. If you get thrown, think of what happened. If you get thrown out there, right? If you get thrown out trying to score in front of Soto and Alonso, with an opportunity to just drive you in from third, I mean, you're going to be kicking yourself. He doesn't know the ball is dropped by the cutoff man until after he gives the stop sign. I have no problem making sure I don't have a play at the plate there is a failing to me. Like, if I know he's going to score standing up, no issue, of course. But, like, even a play at the plate seems risky for no reason with your middle of the order coming up and all you need is a fly ball. I had no problem with that. Neither did the manager. Neither did Mendoza. Steve in Rockland, what's up, Steve?
Well, Chris, you know what? I'll bet that those six full seasons, the Yankees will either have the most wins or the second most wins in baseball. It's got to be over 500
Well,
wins.
I know that Aaron Boone is in the top 10 in Major League history with the winning percentage to start a career. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, all right. So we got that out of the way. But Chris, tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know when the game, here's the turning point of the game. It's when they have the bases loaded and they can't get a hit with two out.
Yeah.
All right? They can't extend that lead. And then when you're playing like this, you can't have a pickoff play that allows a run to score.
Yeah. I agree.
You cannot have – these are the things – you know, when you have no margin for error, right?
That's what Fried is thinking. Fried is thinking, I can't give up another run. Let me see if I can steal an out on the base path. Like, it's trying to do too much. Like, it's trying to do too much.
You know, and how about on the double play? Of course, you can't assume a double play.
Yeah.
When Jazz didn't
make a good throw.
I mean, it just extends to another hitter.
Yeah.
And when you're in this, position.
Yeah, you got to make all the plays. There's no doubt about it. Now, it ended up not hurt. I think it was like a one or two pitch at bat, the next at bat for a fly ball. Because I remember not being able even to have time to put out the tweet that Jazz had to turn that double play. But yes, I don't disagree. He's got to make a better throw to second base. And Max Fried's got to be more careful with the baseball. He can't throw it in the center field.
I mean, and you got to have a clean. They have to have a clean game, so that
they had it. They were two outs away with their closer on the mound. Like, you got to win that game.
It's Murphy's Law.
That's what it is. They are in the middle.
Pain in their neck.
They are in the middle of Murphy's Law. I don't disagree.
They overcame it in that game against Tampa Bay.
Yep.
But they could not overcome it in that crazy game on Friday against the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't do it tonight.
No, of course. I do know, Steve. I know very well. I feel exactly the same. It's frustrating. And again, you know, I'm not trying to defend everything the Yankees did, but don't tell me I can't say they went to the World Series last year. Is that some sort of an excuse? I'm not. I talk about it. Like, did we not remember, like, the feeling of being in the World Series since the first time since 2009? Like, I was pretty damn happy when Soto hit that home run and they went to the World Series. I was pretty damn happy. I'm not saying it justifies everything. I'm not saying it doesn't make Aaron Boone a great manager. It doesn't make Brian Cashman, you know, a god. Like, but it also limits some of the, like, this whole franchise is broken crap. Like, I'm sorry, I have a tough time saying the franchise is broken. The franchise is broken when they went to the World Series last year. And I know nobody cares. But, like, I'm going to say this, I'm going to get in trouble. I know it. But, like, the Arizona Diamondbacks went to the World Series and lost to the Texas Rangers. And they missed the playoffs last year. And then now they're selling. Like, is the franchise broken? Like, the Texas Rangers won a championship, so they get the credit. They won a championship. We'll see what they do now. They're battling, but last year was a disaster, and the offense stunk. Like, they didn't make the playoffs. They didn't finish over 500. Like, again, frustrating. Boone should be fired if they don't get to the postseason. Brian Cashman, things need to change a little bit, but, like, flat out, we need to lose games to make sure everybody inside the organization is done because things are broken and this has gone on like forever and it's allowed to have taken place over the course of the last 8 years and oh my God, what a disaster. And like I was watching them in the World Series last year and we talk as if there's some, you know, absolute like dumpster fire of an organization. This team at the moment, dumpster fire and every other word you want to throw at it. But, like, the New York Yankees as a franchise, like, are, like, as bad as any other franchise in the sport and as so poorly run, we need to bottom out to change things. They were in the World Series last year. I think that's a fair point back. John in Maspeth. What's up, John?
C-Mac.
Yes.
This is, like, rock bottom after rock bottom. Like, I don't know what. I don't know what being an alcoholic feels like, but this kind of feels like, you know. I don't know.
I mean, to me, Friday, I thought that was worse, but I mean, this is just Devin Williams' blue game. But
every 5-10 games, every week or two, there's a new rock bottom of the season.
Yep.
Whether it's the bullpen or the bats going cold or blunders on a base pass and defense, and a change needs to be made. And you know what? A change needs to be made to show the team that the front office is serious, that the fan base needs to see a change. And you know what? Just fire Boone. Fire his ass now.
Mm-hmm.
And just hire Ausmus in the interim. It's not going to, you know, it's not a terrible decision to actually make, in my opinion, right? Look, we had a fine bench coach the last several years in Carlos Mendoza, mm-hmm. who's doing a pretty decent job with the Mets. And even before
I guess they're underachieving
when
as
Joe
well.
Joe Girardi, listen, the Phillies fired Joe Girardi in the middle of the season back in 2022.
They did.
And they hired, you know, another former Yankee bench coach, Rob Thompson, in the interim, who is still their manager, doing a very good job. And you know what? In that season when they fired Joe Girardi in the middle of the season, they went off to the World Series.
That is true.
So it's not a terrible decision to make. Just fire him now because they're going to do it in the offseason. See what they have in Brad Ausmus. Maybe Brad Ausmus can, you know, ignite this team, get them to get going, because there's only, you know, 7 weeks left in a regular season. We know we're third in a wild card now. I think we're tied, you know. We need to make a change now to Sack to get this season going, because if we don't, you know, the change is going to be made anyways.
But
you know?
How do you know? Let me ask you a question. Did you feel this way last year when they were floundering and almost blew the division and they had almost a similar record in July and June and had this swoon? Did you feel the same way then?
No.
Why not?
I didn't.
Well, because Boone is the manager that pulled them out of it. Boone is the manager that found 99, that found the division and went to the World Series with them. I mean,
because last year there wasn't so many like rock bombs. There wasn't so many just.
Well, I
you
get
know,
it, but they did have a miserable June and July. They did have a large division lead that cut down to a very small division lead. And he was the manager who got them out of it and took them all the way to the World Series. Like, I'm just saying, like. And again, I saw this Rob Thompson thing, you know, show up when you know, Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter were talking about him. And I got a bunch of like people sending tweets to me that, oh, they, you know, fire not bringing in Rob Thompson as the manager of the Yankees. Was they like, are we serious? Yes. They fired Joe Girardi, who everybody wants too, right? Everybody wants Joe Girardi, longs for the days of Joe Girardi. He did a miserable job in Philadelphia, got fired. Rob Thompson came in. And they went to the World Series. They lost. So Aaron Boone went to the World Series and lost. Rob Thompson's went to the World Series and lost. Rob Thompson, his Philadelphia Phillies, had a 3-2 lead in a 7-game series, heading back home for 6-7 against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and lost both games. Last year, they were one of the best teams in baseball for pretty much all the entire season. They win the division, they take on the Mets, and lose in 4 in the ALDS as the favorite. Now, yes, Aaron Boone hasn't won a series where he was the underdog. He also pretty much hasn't lost the series as the favorite. Hasn't lost the series with home field advantage. They've lost 2 in the last 2 years. But everyone just says, oh, but he's doing a great job in Philadelphia. Why? Why is he doing such a great job and Aaron Boone's doing such a terrible job? Now, this particular season, sure, Aaron Boone's team is floundering. I mean, they had a 5-game lead that they blew, but they're in first place. But how would we feel about Aaron Boone if in the ALCS he had a 3-2 lead as the favorite, came back home and lost games 6 and 7 against the Arizona Diamondbacks? Like you're the fifth person to tell me today that Rob Thompson should have been the manager of the Yankees. Like, he's some clear-cut much better. What did he do that's any better than what Aaron Boone's done? Give me one thing he's done better than Aaron Boone did. Got to a World Series, they both did that. Lost in the CS, both did that. Not as a favorite. Boone didn't do that. Boone hasn't lost a DS as a favorite. You want to fire Boone? Like I said yesterday, if that announcement comes down tomorrow, okay, I hope Rod Asmus is better, and I hope it shakes up the team and they get hot. I hope what everybody suspects and wants happens. I hope if they fire him, I hope Brad Osmus steps in, lights a fire under their ass, it shakes up the whole room, and they go on a run. That's what I'll be hoping for, and you won't hear me cry because it's that bad right now. But I don't think it has to happen. I don't think it should happen. I think Aaron Boone, and is where I know many of you disagree, for me, Aaron Boone in six full seasons has won the division three times, went to three ALCSs, and was just in the World Series last year. For me, I think he's earned the rest of this year to try and pull them out of it. They're not out of a playoff spot right now. They are still over 500. They just made moves at the deadline. They just got the roster. It's been a disappointing four games with that deadline. They should have won at least two of them. But he's got his team. He's still in position to be a postseason team. And he's had enough success over the last handful of years where I think he's earned the last 50 games. And if those 50 games don't go well, then that's a different discussion. Then I think he should be gone.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right. 340, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Obviously, not a great night for baseball in the city, as we've been talking mainly about the Yankees because they just happen to do it with such panache. They happen to do it with such spectacular disaster as they get walked off 8-5 in Texas after leading the game 3-0, leading the game 5-4. Watching Jock Peterson and his 130 batting average and hit his third home run of the season. But the Mets also lost the game to Cleveland in extras, 7-6, frustrating loss. Manaea goes and was crisp and really good through five, giving you one of the these good outings, and then just fell apart in the sixth inning and gives up a couple hits the other way, gives up the bomb three-run shot, and before you know it, real quick, before Mendoza had a chance to even figure out what was going on, 5-0. The Mets come back, Pete Alonso with a big three-run home run that was kind of gifted to them. I wanted to tweet out, but I was in no mood, and I didn't feel like the repercussion. But someone's got to tell Cleveland that only the Yankees can turn double plays into three-run home runs, but that's what happened. Rocchio, who you remember playing shortstop for Cleveland last year in the ALCS, a series the Yankees won, by the way, in case you don't know that. But it was easy. And meant nothing. But obviously, you get the three-run home run for Pete Alonso. Had a big night, a couple of big hits. Although in the ninth, unable to come through. And that's really like the sequence of events there, whether it's obviously you get Lindor to get on base. You get Lindor with the base hit down the line. Taylor pinch running for Alvarez, who got a leadoff single to start the inning. Moves him over to third base. Taylor doesn't score, held up at third. Would have been a very close play. Obviously would have scored because the ball was ended up dropped. But if the ball wasn't dropped, it would have been a very close play. I have no problem. I know a lot of Met fans seem to have a problem. You lost the game, so you always look at things like that. And he was booking around the bag. There's no doubt. He got a late stop. He was running pretty damn hard. And it would have been a good close play at the plate. It probably takes a very good throw to get him out, but if he gets thrown out there and you're waiting at the top of the order's coming up, well, you need to put the ball in play. I mean, you're going to be kicking yourself for getting thrown out at the plate. So they hold him. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Soto gets the intentional walk, and Pete Alonso can't come through with the biggest hit of the night. Strikes out swinging through a fastball. In extras, the Mets throw away a bunt. Leads to two runs. They get one back in the bottom of the inning, but not enough. And the Mets dropped six of their last seven games, off a 7-game win streak, and the starting pitching has been a major issue now. Whether it's Kodai Senga not been good enough and going really hardly any innings, whether it's now, obviously, Frankie Montas pitching his way out of the rotation, Clay Holmes not being as effective as he's been, hitting these innings that he hasn't hit in years, and his inability to get out of the fourth or fifth inning, and now you're going to even not be able to get out of that Manaea, you know, who has really faltered here, hasn't gone deep into a game. Pitched well, don't get me wrong. When I say faltered, I meant in this game. He's pitched fairly well since coming back from injury, but he hasn't gone deep, and now he just fell apart, you know, lickety-split. Within a couple of batters, gave up 5 runs in the sixth inning in this game. So right now, the bullpen, yeah, fortified at the trade deadline. We saw Rogers in this game. Helsley is obviously a very good reliever, too. We've seen him pitch well for the Mets. And then you get Diaz, who did have a game. I mean, had runner at third and just gets... He's just a magician sometimes out there. He gets into the biggest jams and finds his way out of it. So you got Diaz, you got Helsley, you got Rogers. You feel good about the back end of the bullpen. It's a deeper bullpen, but you just can't rely on it over and over again. And these starters... It's the starting rotation and the innings they give you, and it's the offense and the runners in scoring position. Same thing over and over again. They got lucky to have an opportunity for Pete Alonso to hit that 3-run home run. It got them back into the game, followed up by a base hit from Jeff McNeil. They tie the game at 5, can't get that final run in, and then in extras, they throw the game away. Can't find a way to win. 6 out of 7. Against teams that aren't trying, really. Against the San Francisco team that punted on the season and traded away everybody. And Cleveland really isn't trying much either. They traded away guys, and they're 10 games back and in their division behind the Tigers. So against two teams, they lost their closer to suspension. So the Mets come home as the best record, best home record in all of baseball. And they come home and lose, you know, 4 or 5 here. To teams that aren't even trying. They've got to do better tomorrow, and they've got Clay Holmes on the mound against Allen, who's had a pretty good year, you know, with a 4 ERA, but Clay Holmes has got to come out and pitch very well tomorrow, because you do not want, you know, they are now a game and a half behind Philadelphia, who won last night. And they've just got to find a way. The starting pitch is just not good enough. And again, yeah, Beatty makes a mistake on a bad throw. I thought Lindor could have handled it better. The third base coach held up a would-be base runner in Taylor that could have scored, but I understood why he did it. And Pete Alonso, although having a great night, can't come through with the sacrifice fly that could have won the game, and they don't do enough in the bottom of the 10th either. 888-808-1019. So the Mets, frustrating loss, not playing well, and you just get the sense the same thing as them. And both teams, really, off of... really good trade deadlines. And I'll continue to say that. Like, we'll see what happens, but I thought Brian Cashman got a lot for a little. I thought the same thing from David Stearns. They got, he addressed the bullpen in a huge way to get Rogers and Helsley. I think the Yankees had a very good trade deadline as well. They brought in a bunch of pieces. Hopefully these arms help in the bullpen going down the stretch now that, that one of them might be the closer moving forward. I still think it was a good deadline. And for both of these teams to win one game between them since the trade deadline is unbelievable, because the optimism off of that trade deadline, you felt really good, right? You felt really good. Now, the Mets, yeah, they were coming off a sweep at the hands of San Diego after sweeping the Giants. So you didn't head into the post-trade deadline with a lot of momentum the way the Yankees did with 3 straight off of Tampa Bay. But to fall on their face, both teams collectively, off of all the optimism and being 2 of the, what, 3 or 4 teams that are considered like the trade deadline winners? Really frustrating from both teams to just play such lackluster baseball over the last, you know, week here. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Phil in Sheepshead Bay. What's up, Phil? Phil, you got to listen through your phone, bud. Put Phil on hold. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
So I guess George wouldn't like Jazz on a team, but he doesn't mind having Jose Canseco on a team, right?
That's no, okay. I mean, listen, that was the most... I'm sorry. I just had a real... He had Mel Hall on the team. Mel Hall had cougars in the clubhouse and was bringing 16-year-old, 15-year-old girlfriends to team club events. Like, I mean, stop it now.
The Yankees always had a collection. Like any other team, a collection of moops. The Clemens and Wells, they had a lot of knuckleheads. I mean, you know, good ball players, but old knuckleheads. Yeah, that Met game tonight, that was brutal. That was brutal. Like you said, I don't know if Cleveland's not trying. Cleveland's only two games out, but you got to beat Cleveland. You're better than Cleveland. You're better than San Francisco.
Yeah,
you can't go three out. You know, lose three out of four against these two teams. And I don't know. Every series, I think this is the series they're going to turn it around. But Evan brought up a good point tonight on his podcast. You know, they just don't seem to have that special quality they had last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, game like last year, this game's in the win column. You know, without a doubt, they just don't. They're just not getting the breaks, and it's just a lot of things that's starting to add up that it just doesn't look like this is the year that they're going to make a run.
Well, I mean, I mean, it looks like that right now. We'll see. I mean, at times, pick a team in the National League that has had no time where it's felt like it's not going to make a run. The Dodgers have played poorly at times, and Mookie Betts is not having the kind of season he typically has. I mean, you could look at the Dodgers. Oh, with their starting pitching and all the injuries they've had to it and everything else, like they don't look like they're going to go on a run. San Diego Padres, the Chicago Cubs even, right? They've been beat by Milwaukee. Milwaukee started off the season terribly. There's all been times where it doesn't look like they're going to go on a run. We'll see. They got 49 games to get back to looking like a team that could go on a run. I think they're talented enough. Phil in Sheepshead Bay. What's up, Phil?
Yeah, hi. Listen, I'm getting so frustrated watching these Mets. 5-0 before you know it, they're playing catch-up.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? So they tie the score. They have high hopes. They're going to extra innings. And naturally, here come the mistakes.
Yeah.
So you tell me. I can't blame the manager. These are simple plays. I don't know if the
question. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're in the – you can't blame the manager for simple mistakes, come and join me. It's me and you.
Yeah,
there's not many other people in that boat with us. Everyone wants to blame the managers for these simple mistakes. I don't. It's not his fault. Beatty threw the ball away. It's you know. I don't. Listen. I thought Beatty made the right play. He just threw the ball away. He made the right read. He threw the ball away. Same thing. I have no problem with the third base coach holding up Taylor. I really don't. You look at it, and thank you for the call, Phil. You look at it. It you don't know he's going to drop it. The stop sign goes up before he drops it. And if it's even going to be a real close play at the plate, you don't want to take the risk. So I had no problem with that. But, yeah, listen, the Mets are not immune to mistakes. They've made a bunch of mental mistakes. They've made mistakes on the base paths. They've made mistakes fielding. Like, every team makes mistakes. The Cleveland Guardians gift-wrapped them 3 runs. They had a double play turned into a runners at the corners, 3-run bomb from Pete Alonso. So, but I didn't, you know, the Mets' main thing hasn't really been that, though. For the Yankees, it clearly has been a major, major issue for them. For the Mets, it's happened, and it's cost them games. It's cost them moments. You know, even if it doesn't cost them directly, it's always more pitches, and, you know, you could always point to mistakes, no doubt. But for the most part, it's been recently. There was a time where the bullpen was kind of a mess. They fixed that. They sent down Brazoben, who's killing them. Reed Garrett's kind of turned it around. Stanek has been much better. And they added 2 big-time arms. So the bullpen you feel a lot better about. But it was the bullpen. Then it's the amount of innings the starters go. The injury to the starting rotation. They didn't add another starting pitcher. Montas has not pitched well. And the team still doesn't hit in the clutch. They don't hit with runners in scoring position, and Juan Soto has not been, like, Pete Alonso's been struggling. Last night was a good night for him, even though he didn't come through with in the biggest at-bat of the game or where we had an opportunity to win it. It's just, right now, you got Lindor swinging through high fastballs like it's his job, and you've got, you know, Pete Alonso struggling for the most part, and Juan Soto, while still getting a hit here, getting a hit there, you know, getting on base a bunch, keeping up his OPS, he has not been as clutch or as impactful as you would like, as they need. And that's really been the same issue that's been hampering them all year, continues to hamper them. And last night, a couple of mistakes, no doubt, but they had an opportunity to win the game. They couldn't do it. Rich in South Orange. What's up, Rich?
How you doing, Chris? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
I'd like just I don't want to get cut off for going off topic. I know you're a fellow Paul McCartney fan.
Yes.
Well, you know, Paul and Ringo both said that Mark Knopfler was the best thing they ever heard. And I'd like to know if you listened to him.
Who? Mark what?
Mark Knopfler, Dire Straits.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I've listened to Dire Straits. They're not my favorite band, no. So that's not, I would disagree with them. I think they're the best thing I ever heard. But, yeah, I'm not a huge Dire Straits fan. Yeah, I know a couple of songs.
I wasn't a big Dire Straits fan either, but I highly recommend Mark Knopfler solo. He's really, really good.
Okay.
My Yankee point is I saw a statistic the other night on one of the games, and I think this has been the biggest problem this year. The Yankees' record when they make an error is like 15-30, and when they don't make an error, their record is unblemished. It's really good.
Okay.
And my second point is...
I would think that's probably accurate for most teams.
Yep.
But...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But, and the other thing, if I had to bet, and I don't have to bet because I don't have the money, but... If I had to bet on two teams for the World Series, after watching the Phillies and Tigers the other night, I think those are the two teams.
I know what we're rooting for. I mean, that's absolutely legitimate chance. Right now, Milwaukee's playing really well. But, yeah, the Tigers, although they've cooled off a little bit, Tigers are one of the better teams in the American League, no doubt. I mean, we'll see. Paul McCartney, by the way, a couple things. I was watching the Billy Joel documentary, and Paul McCartney's in it for a little bit. And he said, I don't know about Dire Straits or whatever else, but he said, people ask him, what's the one song you hear on the radio or that's you know, a popular song that you wish you had written? And he said he always answers that question with Just the Way You Are by Billy Joel. I was like, wow, that's a pretty damn good compliment because in my estimation, Paul McCartney is the premier songwriter in rock history. So to like hear Paul say, if there was one song out there that I wish I had written, Just the Way You Are by Billy Joel, that's a good one. And you know what's funny? You know what else I was thinking watching that Billy Joel documentary? One, how much I love Billy Joel, obviously. But... I never answer the question with Billy Joel. I don't know. It's because I don't think of him as a band necessarily. But like, if someone asked me, like, what's your favorite band? Like, that's typically how people would ask that question. And I always go, the Beatles. I'm really into Queen, The Doors. You know, I never say Billy Joel ever, and I should, because I absolutely think Billy Joel's like one of my top favorite, musical acts. Even though maybe because like the word band throws me off, but I don't see Bruce Springsteen either. Like, I don't know. I guess it's like the idea that it's a solo artist, but that Billy Joel, if you haven't seen the Billy Joel documentary on HBO, it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. It's just so, I had no idea the troubles he had in his life early on, getting into the music business and, falling in love with his friend's wife and how much that weighed on him. And then just, the struggles and, then finally really making, even though like he was still waffling in his career, like I guess I'm not aware of this stuff. I wasn't around. I figured Piano Man was his big hit and he was just a huge success after Piano Man. But it took To the Stranger till he really became, a big successful star. And it was just really fascinating. If you haven't had a chance, the documentary is really good. It's on HBO.